And our host team is going to come and pass the baskets as Tom comes with the word today.
Good morning. It's a great joy to be with all of you, and very excited about this morning. I want to mention a few things to you that you'll find in your bulletin. First of all, you'll find this card about our Christmas offering, explaining kind of what that Christmas offering is all about. We want you guys to just be fully informed about that, so take some time to look at that. And second of all, I just want to point out there's some fill-in-the-blanks in your bulletin. You may want to follow along and fill those blanks in as we continue this morning. I also thought that you might enjoy some what I'm going to call Christmas fun facts. Just a few fun facts about Christmas that just to draw your attention to. And so here's three of them. Fun might be overstating these facts, but here's a couple of things that just thought you might enjoy to know about Christmas. Number one, many years ago in England, a traditional Christmas dinner included a pig head served with mustard. What a delicious, really delicious, I think. Any guys ever had the pig head with mustard for Christmas? Anybody ever had the, just okay, great, excellent. Here's number two. This is a little sad fun fact for you. Because they viewed Christmas as a decadent Catholic holiday, the Puritans in America banned all Christmas celebrations with a penalty, get this, of 5 shillings for each offense. Some Puritan leaders condemned those who favored Christmas as enemies of the Christmas of the Christian faith. Isn't that an interesting thing? Those Puritans probably were really fun to party with. That's my thought about the Puritans back there. And then number three, fun fact for Christmas. I think this is the most fun fact of all. Bolivians celebrate the Mass of the Rooster on Christmas Eve. Some people bring roosters to the midnight Mass, a gesture that symbolizes the belief that a rooster was the first animal to announce the birth of Jesus. Now, I'm just curious, how many of you were hoping to bring a rooster to Christmas Eve services? Anybody hoping for that? Now, I'm just going to say we welcome roosters that to stay outside in the rooster area, but we welcome roosters for Christmas Eve. Now, I do want to let you know we have 3 amazing options for Christmas Eve. Number one, the first one is actually on Christmas Eve, December 23rd at Swayze Chapel. It's going to be an amazing service led by Carrie Miller and myself, and should just be an awesome time to be in. The acoustics of Swayze Chapel are amazing. And if you're wondering, hey, Pastor Tom, where is Swayze Chapel? We've got a special little table back there about this service, and there's a little flyer about that and a map to Swayze Chapel. How many guys don't know, or how many do know where Swayze Chapel is up on Denison's campus? Yeah, go on up for that service if you would like on December 23rd. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor Tom, could you put that little flyer in an envelope so I can send it to a friend? Yes, I can, and I already did. So go back there if you want to, get an envelope, and you can send one of these, put it in the mail, send it to a friend, invite them to that service. Second of all, on the actual Christmas Eve, December 24th, at 5 o'clock, this room will be packed with worshipers. There'll be children's choir here, also child care that night. Going to be amazing, probably no roosters, but we'd invite you back for that 5 o'clock service, and then again at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve, we're going to be enjoying a time of lighting candles, of singing. I'll be speaking for about 15 minutes. No need to bring pillows that night, and just enjoy that time for us to be together. So that's some Christmas fun facts for you and some thoughts about Christmas Eve. You guys don't seem especially tuned in just yet. So why don't you guys just give me a good morning, Pastor Tom. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you out there. Hey, we're going to jump into this story from Luke chapter 1, and this is about Mary and the angel coming to Mary, the angel Gabriel. So I'm just going to read this to you. Sit back and enjoy as I read the scripture to you. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.
And Mary said to the angel,
How will this be, since I am a virgin?
And the angel answered her,
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.
And Mary said,
Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.
And the angel departed from her. Hey, have a little hand for my readers. Give them a little hand up there. That might have been Brad and Paul. I'm not going to say. I want to leave the mystery there, but it might have been Brad and Paul. Well, let's just jump in. This story really has three elements. The angel comes to Mary and says, you're highly favored. And then the angel tells Mary about Jesus to be born. And last of all, we see Mary's response to the angel. I'm going to begin with the response Mary gives. We're going to go backwards up to the beginning in this story. And here's how Mary responds to the angel. She says this, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I want to zoom in on this phrase. I am the servant of the Lord is what Mary says. Now, that may not hit you very strong as you first hear it. Oh, she's just saying she's God's servant. That's great. That's the NIV, by the way. Here's the same idea in the New King James says this. Behold, Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Can you guys say handmaid? The handmaid. That means I'm here to serve you, God. I'm your handmaid. But still, it's really not strong enough. Here it is in the New American Standard Version. It says it like this. I am the bond slave of the Lord. Mary's saying something very deep and very profound about her reaction to what the angel has said. Here's the Greek word for what Mary's saying. Doulos is the word. It means slave. One who gives themselves up to another's will. Devotion to another to the disregard of one's own interest. Here's what Mary's saying. It's such an important thing that you understand. Even though, angel, what you're saying is scary, I'll become pregnant and I'm still a virgin and I'm going to carry a baby and this could have all kinds of consequences for me. I am the slave of the Lord. Here's how we see Mary's response. You can fill in these blanks. Mary immediately and completely submits to God. That's what she does. Immediately and completely, Mary submits. Okay, God, if that's what you want, I'm your slave. I will do what you ask of me. I'm your handmaid. I'm your bond slave. I will do whatever God wants. Now, here's my thought about this. I think probably everyone in this room, I'm going to make some eye contact all across the room. Hey, how you guys doing? Good to see you. Hey, middle section. Okay, good to see you guys. Excellent. Love you guys over there in the corner. I think everyone in the room here probably has something that if they were honest with themselves, they would say, I think God is telling me to stop doing this. Or I think God's telling me to start doing this. And if we're all in that situation knowing God wants me to stop this or begin this, how do we respond? Do we immediately and completely submit to God or do we take our time? Do we back away from what God's telling us to do? I think Mary is an incredible mentor for us about those things. So I want you to sit back and relax. We're gonna watch a little video about Mary and Carrie's gonna come and sing. And I want you to just soak in what it must have been like for Mary in this way. We're gonna lower the lights and just enjoy this video just for a moment. So sit back, relax, and here we go. We lower the lights on that song so the men can cry. And one of these times I won't cry when I see it. But wasn't that awesome? Wasn't that just amazing? Just that understanding. Let's go ahead and talk about what the angel says to Mary. He says this: "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, the angel's telling Mary this in a future tense. Here's what's going to happen, but we look back in a past tense, and so here's how it sounds in a past tense. You can fill in these blanks if you like. His name is Jesus. Amen? His name is Jesus. He is great. The Son of the Most High, and he is King forever. Amen. How about if I say that again and you guys just respond? He is King forever. Amen. He's King forever. Jesus came, and he is great. He's the Son of the Most High, and he is King forever. We live in his kingdom. I came across a story this week that I saw so profoundly talked about Jesus being King forever. It actually centers around this young man. This is Jeffrey T. Bull. You guys can look him up on the internet if you like. He had a very interesting life. That's his picture right there. And Jeffrey Bull grew up in Scotland. Eventually, he moved to England, and he was on fire for Christ and decided that God was calling him to be a missionary overseas. And so Jeffrey Bull felt the call to go to the nation of Tibet. And he felt that call because he believed Tibet was the most unreached place in the world when he went in 1949 to be a missionary there. So he traveled to Tibet and began to have great success with the gospel in Tibet. He wrote a book about it actually called Tales, Tibetan Tales is the name of that book. But in 1950 and 1951, the Chinese army came in to Tibet. And the communists came in and they took charge of Tibet. And all the missionaries there, including Jeffrey, were taken captive. He writes about this in his book, When Iron Gates Yield. But the Chinese took him captive and they began to try and indoctrinate him with the communist understanding and way of life and communist thinking. And so they began to brainwash him. They began to torture him. And what they would do is they'd bring in this young Christian missionary and they would question him, interrogate him. They would beat him. And their goal was to have him bow to a picture of Mao Zedong. And every session would end, and they would say, these beatings will end if you simply bow to Mao Zedong. And he said, never, never will I do it. He actually says in the book that when they were beating him, he would recall the Bible beginning in Genesis. And in his mind, as he's being beaten for his faith, he would go through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus all the way through the Bible as he was being beaten for his faith. Eventually, the interrogator got tired of him and said, you know what? I'm done with you. We're going to march you off into northern China, and they're going to go to one of our worst work camps. They took him and five or six guards and a few other prisoners that were Tibetan, and they began to march them. This is now winter time. It's very cold. And they marched them and marched them and marched them. His body, he says, my body was exhausted. My body was bleeding in many places on a forced march. They eventually come to this small farm on the border of Tibet and China, and it's freezing cold, and the soldiers go inside. They leave the prisoners outside. And they come out and they like to poke fun at Gregory or Jeffrey because he was Westerner. And they came out and they poked him and they said, go in the barn and milk the cow. We want milk. Milk the cow. And they gave him a bucket and he said that was his lowest moment. He took the bucket. He's bleeding. He's battered. He's exhausted. And he's walking into that little barn. And he goes in. When he walks in the barn, he says he's immediately greeted by the smell of disgusting animals, of manure is wafting. The smell is just overtaking him, and he couldn't take it. And as he walked to find that cow, trying to avoid the manure on the floor, he said, God spoke to me. And God said to me, what day is it? What day is it? And he began to calculate in his mind what day it might be from the day he'd been captured up until then. And he's calculating in his mind, and he came to the understanding this was Christmas Day. And he looked around that stable and realized in this most disgusting place that smells so horrible, this is the place that God sent Jesus Christ. And so in that stable, he got on his knees and he said, I will never bow to Mao Zedong or any man, but I will bow to King Jesus forever. Amen. Get that picture in your mind. Do you think about Jesus in that way? Do you see Jesus as King forever? He's the King. He's reigning. He's King. I came across this week and just remembered actually a portion of a sermon I'd heard many years ago. And the sermon was preached by this man, Dr. S.M. Lockridge. And Dr. Lockridge was the pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego, California from 1953 until 1993. He's known as an incredible just preacher. He had a great gift of preaching. How many guys, just raise your hand, you've heard of a sermon that's on Good Friday saying, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. How many guys have heard about that sermon? That's a Lockridge sermon right there. Dr. Lockridge, actually, by the way, the SM stands for Shadrach Meshach. That's his first name, Shadrach Meshach. If only I had a son I could name Shadrach Meshach, that'd be amazing. I'd love that. But Dr. Lockridge, he preached a sermon about Jesus the King. And I'm going to play for you about a three-minute clip of that message. And I'd like you, as you hear him speaking, it's very appropriate to clap or amen or just get excited about him declaring Jesus as King. It's about 3 minutes. Sit back and relax as we just listen to the second.
The Bible says my King is a King. He's a King of Israel. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my King.
That's our King. That's King Jesus, who is King forever. And Dr. Lockridge asked that question, do you know him? Do you know him? And let's not forget Philippians chapter 3 tells us, this is the New Living, it says this, yes, everything else is worthless with compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Do you know him? Let me ask you the two most important questions I could ever ask you. And here's question number one. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the King who is King forever? When Buddha lay dying, his disciples came to him and they asked Buddha, how should we remember you? And Buddha said, don't remember me, only my teachings. And I'm really okay with that. If no one remembers Buddha, I'm okay with that. But as Christians, that's not where we are. We remember the person of Jesus Christ. And not only do you remember him, we know him. We know him. The infinite value of knowing Christ. Question number one, do you know Christ? And here's question number two. If you do know Christ, why don't you just raise your hand. If you believe you know Christ, just raise your hand. If you know him, here's question number two. The second most important question. Paul says this in Galatians 4:19. I know I'm getting all fired up. I can't help it. Galatians 4:19, he says, my dear children, for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth. Listen. Until Christ is formed in you. Here's the expectation. If you know Jesus as King, you accept him as your Savior, eventually Christ is formed in you. People look at you and they don't see you, they see Jesus. They see Jesus coming out of you. So here's the question. Question number two. Think about it. Do you see Christ being formed in your life? This is for you. Do you see that if you're a Christian? Do you see your thoughts are becoming more like Christ? Listen, let me talk to men for a second. Men in the room. If you're here and you're a Christian man, ask yourself this question. Are my thoughts becoming more like the thoughts of Christ? Because I do have the mind of Christ. How about women in the room? Women, do you see that? Do you see your thoughts becoming more like the thoughts that Christ had? Do you see Christ being formed in you? Do you see him coming out? How about in your emotions? Are you seeing the love that Christ have coming out of you? Are your emotions changing to be formed like Christ? Your thoughts, your emotions, your actions. Are you doing things and saying, wow, how did I just do that? That was so Christ-like. That was so much like him. Are you seeing Christ formed in you, where your old selfish ways are passing away and Christ is coming out of you? This week on Wednesday, I got a unique view of this question about myself. I was here at church Wednesday and I was going home about 5 and coming back 5:30 for a 6:30 for a meeting. I had an hour and a half and I called my wife as I was leaving. She said, Tom, just stop by the store and pick up these 5 things. And there were 5 things I had to pick up and I memorized them quickly and I knew them. But my wife and I, we have an issue when it comes to meat. You see, when I buy lunch meat, I just go to the lunch meat section and I grab the turkey, whatever. My wife, she loves for me to go to the deli. And she said, Tom, please, promise me you'll go to the deli. Just go to the deli and get the meat. I said, honey, I'll do it. I'll go to the deli. No problem. So I drive to a local store. I'm not going to say which one. And I drive to that store and I walk. And I knew I only had an hour and a half to leave work, go home, eat dinner, come back. And I was kind of going quickly. And it was freezing cold Wednesday, if you recall that. I walk in the store. It's cold. And I walk straight to the deli section. And right away, I realized there's something funny going on. There's a lady, she's waiting to be served, and she's standing there waiting, so I'm second in line. And there's 2 ladies behind the deli counter who are working deli, you can tell by the hairnets. And they're back there, but they're talking to each other, and they weren't helping anybody. They were covering some stuff up, talking to each other. And so I come in, and I start listening in like everyone was, and they were just gossiping. They were talking bad about somebody. They were slamming somebody, talking bad about somebody. And I just immediately felt, wow, this is kind of a toxic deli environment. I'm not sure if I want meat from this toxic deli environment. I could feel that toxic complaining. And then a lady came out from the bakery and she walked around. She said, you guys talking about me? And deli lady number one, she's in her 20s. She looked back and she said, hey, we wouldn't waste our time talking about you. And deli lady number two, she looked back and she looked over and she said, we're not that bored to be talking about you. I was like, what a toxic deli environment. I can't believe it. My first instinct was to run to that welcoming meat section and get my cold cuts off the counter. But I remember what my wife said. And then I had this thought that I believe came directly from the Holy Spirit. And here's the thought that I believe God gave me standing right there in the deli section. Here was the thought. Here's what it was. You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to change the atmosphere right here. I'm going to see with God's help and the Holy Spirit if I, through his power, can change the atmosphere from toxic complaining to gratitude and helpfulness. So I began to pray for that. So deli lady number one in her 20s, she went to help the first lady in line. And then deli lady number two in her 50s, she came to help me. And the way she walked kind of said, like, I can't believe I have to help you. It was like, oh, you're the biggest problem of my day to me. That's what I felt. And so she walked up and she says, can I help you? I was like, well, ma'am, thanks for asking. First of all, I'd like some turkey. And second, I'd like some roast beef. And she said, well, what kind you want? I said, well, you know what? Here's how I see it. you are a deli expert, a professional in the art of meat. And I may not have said that, but anyway, I said, you're a deli professional, and I'd like to have your opinion. What do you think is the best meat we have? And she kind of stepped back a little bit like, okay. She said, well, I think the best turkey we have is this turkey. It's oven roasted and da-da-da. I said, you know what? I'll take it. She took the turkey out, and she said, okay, how thick do you want it? I said, ma'am, I would not presume to tell you how thick to make my meat. You're the expert. You tell me how thick deli meat should be. She kind of did, whoa. I thought, okay, it's shifting. I can feel the environment shifting a little bit. And she walked back. She's making meat, and she's doing her thing. And right about then, Tracy texted me, and she said, get ham. And I fully understood what she meant. And so she came back with the turkey, gave me the turkey, and I said, ma'am, I've got to get some ham, but I have to know from you, what is the best ham that you have? And then she put her arm on the counter, and she leaned in. She said, well, sir, I think the best ham we have is the Old Farm ham. You want to taste some? I said, sure, I'll taste some. She gets the ham. She's, you know, she gives me a piece, and she gives me this huge, gigantic piece of ham. I couldn't even eat it on Easter. You know, she gave it to me, this huge piece of ham, and she gave it to me. I'm like, okay, I'll try it. I got a little nibble. I'm like, oh, ma'am, that is delicious. She said, oh, I told you, that is delicious. I got to say, that is delicious ham, only kind I eat. And I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, I'm going to pray that today is a day that you have the best day in the deli that you have ever had. And she looked back at me, and I could tell there was something spiritual in her background. She looked back at me, and she said, thank you for that. And she walked back, and she zipped me up some roast beef and put it in the pack, and she walked back over, and her attitude was totally changed. And she gave me the meat, and she said, is there anything else I can do for you? I said, you have a great day. God bless. Took my cart and skipped off, you know, to get my other items. I said, yes, yes. Did I just skip? I think I just did. All right, not important. I said, yes, God, I can see Christ formed in me. I didn't see a bad attitude and myself start complaining. I didn't get sucked in that toxic atmosphere through the Holy Spirit. I attempted through prayer to change that attitude. I did it. I saw Christ formed in me. Are you seeing that? I wish it was every day. I wish it was all the time. But there it was. Are you seeing that? Do you see in yourself this determination? No, I'm not going to take it. Because I know many of you live in a toxic environment. You work in a workplace with complaining and gossiping and all these things. And you've got to say, no, Christ is formed in me. Christ will come out of me. Amen. Are you seeing Christ formed in you? Let's talk about the first thing the angel says to Mary. The angel shows up. There it is, glowing in glory. And the angel comes. And listen to what the angel says. Ask yourself this question. Would you want to hear this message? The angel went to her and said, actually, why don't you guys read the angel part for me? The angel went to her and said, now imagine getting that message. Imagine the angel comes and says, you are highly favored. How would you feel? How would you feel to know that you are highly favored? That's a big deal. God is favoring me. I have God's favor. Or how about this verse? It's two verses down, verse 30. But the angel said to her, you guys give it to me, okay? The angel said to her, two times the angel says that you have found favor with God. And I'm going to tell you something shocking right now. You raised your hand a few minutes ago and you said, I'm a Christian. I know Christ. And if you know Christ and you're a Christian, let me tell you something shocking. You are highly favored. God, you have God's favor right now. Let me take you right to Romans 5, 1 and 2. Listen to what it says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace. Say peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this, you guys say it, into this in which we stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now that word grace also is the same Greek word for favor. By access, we have access by faith into the favor of God. F.F. Bruce is a well-known Bible scholar. Here's what he says about this section. The peace carries with it free access to God. The former rebels are not merely forgiven. They are brought, listen, they are brought into a place of high favor with God. Let me tell you something really important. Now lean in and listen, listen. You actually right now, as a Christian, born again through Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, living for Christ, you have more favor right now than when Mary did when the angel showed up and talked to her. Listen, you have more favor right now than John the Baptist did doing his ministry way back in the Bible. And you could say, Tom, how can you say that? Prove to me I have more favor than John the Baptist. Okay, I'll prove it to you right after you fill in these blanks. little suspense there I was building for you. See how that worked? Here's a really complicated one. You are highly favored. You've got to see that about yourself. You are highly favored. Highly favored. Now let me prove to you that you're more favored than John the Baptist. Hear what it says. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women," how many guys here are born of women? Just give me a quick hand on that. Okay, lots of you. "Among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Listen, if you have Christ, you're greater. You have more favor of God because you've been forgiven and justified. Here's my question for you. What are you doing with that? What are you doing with the favor of God that you have? Because God has a plan for you. God has a passion for your life. What are you doing with the favor of God that you have? Here's that quote again. I want you to listen to it again. This peace, we have peace with God as Christians. This peace carries with it free access to God. The former rebels are not merely forgiven. They are brought into a place of high favor with God. What are you doing with that? Do you know what that feels like to have someone's favor? To be in good favor with someone? I can remember as a young boy, I knew certainly without a doubt that my father favored me, that I was in his good graces. He would grab me. I would sit in his lap. We'd do things together. He'd say, "Come with me. Let's go do this." And my dad and I would spend time together. Then I got through high school. I went into college, and I just began to walk away from my faith. And as I walked away from my faith, my father, who was a wonderful pastor, we had this split in our relationship. I did a few things, got in trouble, went to jail. And my dad told me, he said, "For the first time in your life, I'm disappointed in you." And I could feel I had lost my father's favor. I wasn't walking with God. I wasn't following God. And I came back from college that year, and my dad said, "You know, I'm going to let you choose if you want to go to church or not go to church. You're 20 years old. You're old enough. You choose if you want to go to church or you don't want to go to church." I said, "Okay, Dad, I'll choose it. I'm not going to church. No way. No way I'm going to church." He said, "Okay, you made your choice. That's fine." So I went to bed on Saturday night, who knows what time, and about 6 o'clock Sunday morning, my bedroom door opens, and there's my dad with a huge list. Wakes me up, not gently, wakes me up. Boom, 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 boom. Wakes me up. "Hey, if you want to live in my house and not go to church, here's the chores you're going to be doing while I'm at church. Page 1, page 2, page 3. Here you go." It's things like prune the bushes. It had been years since those bushes had been pruned, right? Never, probably never happened. Anyway, he gave me the list. He said, "All right, I don't want you sleeping while in church. You get up and do this work." I said, "Dad, I think I'll just go to church." He's like, "Well, don't be sleeping in church either." I said, "Okay." I could feel there was this distance between my father and I. I knew what it meant to have his favor, and then suddenly I didn't have his favor. I was out of favor with him, and I felt it. And maybe some of you know that feeling of being close to God and knowing God's peace and knowing God's presence, and God is right there with you. What happened in my life was that I made more mistakes. I was away from God. Eventually, I got drunk one night, made a lot of mistakes, went to jail for another time. Great story. Won't get into it today. And I repented of my sins. I got on my knees. I repented. I made things right with God. And I called my mom to tell my mom. And my mom and I talked about it. I never lost my mom's favor. Praise God for that. And my mom and I talked about it. And she said, "I think you should talk to your dad." And she gave my dad the phone. And he began to talk to me. And I could tell something had changed in my relationship with him. The next time I saw him, he walked up. He threw his arms around me. Like the prodigal son, when he came home, the father threw his arms around me. And I knew that restoration of God's favor. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. That moment with my father came after I repented and began walking with God. And some of you in this room, you know you're far away from God. And today's a day when you've got to say, "You know what? I'm coming back. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to say to God, 'God, I am going to follow you.'" And you're going to be number one. And you're going to feel a restoration in that relationship with God. Today is your day to be restored to God in that way. Let me give you some review of this message. Here's point number one. Mary immediately and completely submits to God. Is that how you obey God? I said before, I believe most of us in this room know something that God is saying, stop doing this or start doing that. We want to obey immediately and completely. Maybe you're in a relationship and that relationship has to end. Maybe you're doing things that are morally wrong. They're sins. And you've got to repent of those things. Do it immediately and completely. Let God work. That's how you should obey God. Number two, we talked about this. Jesus is king forever. I asked the two most important questions. Do you know him? Last night we had two young ladies who accepted Christ for the very first time. How about a hand for that? Just awesome. They came back, I met with them, and they made that decision. They said, I don't know him, but I want to know him. They prayed to accept Christ. Do you know him? And number two, here's your question. Is Christ formed in you? Are you seeing Christ come out? Are you seeing the transformation of your life? Next question, we talked about this. Just like Mary was highly favored, you are highly favored as a Christian. Is that impacting your life to know God has a mission for you, to know that God has something for you, that you're favored? Or if you're feeling far from God, it's time to repent. It's time to come back to a point of saying, God, you are number one in my life. I'm going to make one overall statement for this message and for this season. I want you to just see this. Here's the last blanks to fill in for today. This season and every season, we need to be receiving. You can write that in. We need to be receiving and also giving. And here's what I'm going to say about that. We need to be receiving from God. We want to receive from God's word. This is not a time to shrink back from studying the word of God. We've got to receive from it, study it, know it. You've got to be receiving from God. You've got to be receiving through prayer. Let your prayers continually go before God. You've got to receive from God by coming to church and being with other Christians. You want to be receiving, receiving, receiving. But also, this is a time from the overflow of receiving from God that you want to give to others. One way that you might give to someone else is just offer a listening ear to listen to their problems. Maybe you want to give to them prayer. Maybe you want to change the attitude of some deli workers in your life in a toxic environment. Give to others. Maybe what you want to do as far as giving is maybe you want to give out one of these invitations to our Christmas Eve services, invite someone to church. But you should be both receiving and giving. Why don't you guys bow your heads with me if you would? Would close out this message. I'm just going to ask you in a moment when I finish praying, if you would say, Pastor Tom, I am a Christian, but I've got to repent of some things in my life. I've got to obey God immediately and completely. If that's you, I'm going to say today, why not come to the altar? Just walk up to the altar, kneel, and pray. Maybe you want to say to God, God, I want to see Christ formed in me so much more than I do. Come and kneel and pray and let this season affect your life. But some of you here may be in that same situation as those girls last night, where you don't know him and you want to know Christ. You want to have that relationship with him. So I'm going to pray a prayer right now and ask you to pray it with me. If you want to accept Christ for the very first time, if you want to make Jesus king of your life, pray this prayer with me right now to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray it together. I'll say it out loud. You guys say it quietly. Here's how the prayer works. It begins this way. Father God, just say that quietly. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I know I've made mistakes. I know I've committed sins. But I ask you to forgive me. And Jesus Christ, I know you died for me. I want to live for you. Come into my life. I give my life to you. I repent of my sin and make Jesus king forever. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And if you prayed that prayer with me right now, I'm just going to ask you just to raise your hand so I can get an idea that you prayed that prayer with me, that you meant that, it was sincere for you, and that you knew that. Thank you. Thank you. Also want to invite any of you who want to come to the altar and just kneel and just have that time of just expressing to God that you want to see Christ formed in you, that you want to come back to following him completely. So if that's you and you want to come to the altar, even come right now. Brad's going to sing a quiet song. Reflect on these things. Come to the altar. Just let God work in your life in this time this morning. We're going to go ahead and pray and close out our time. I do want to just let you know there's the healing prayer team in our prayer room in the back. If you want to receive prayer for anything physical happening for you in your body, go back for some prayer back there. And just want to thank you for coming today and being part of our services. Don't forget that Christmas Eve service at Denison and then here on Christmas Eve 5 and 7. So let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for the story of Mary. We thank you, God, that the angel comes to Mary and all these things, Father, we can learn, knowing that Jesus is great. He's the Son of the Most High, and He is King forever. And so, Father, we walk out of this room asking ourselves those questions. Do we know you? How well do we know King Jesus? And are you, Jesus Christ, being formed in us. Father, I pray as we leave this place, we can leave triumphantly, knowing that we have the favor of God as Christian believers, and that you have a purpose and you've got a plan for our lives. We thank you, God, we praise you, and we leave this place rejoicing in the name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray, and all say, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Have a great day and a great night, and I'll see you next week. Thanks.